Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about martyrdom. Well, if you followed the news at all this week, you'd have noticed that this marks the one-year anniversary of George Floyd's death. Now, in a healthy society, in a society that functioned, in a society that wasn't being torn apart by a deconstructionist communist rabble at the behest and direction of power-hungry would-be tyrants, nobody would know about George Floyd. In fact, I dare say that if George Floyd had merely overdosed while not being arrested, or perhaps got shot by a drug dealer, which would have been possible since he was apparently regularly in the company of drug dealers, if George Floyd had died in nearly any other way, nobody would know and nobody would care. In fact, people would probably call it street justice. People would call it karma. Now, I don't believe in karma because the Bible doesn't teach karma, because karma is a pagan notion, but lots of people do. And if George Floyd, a career criminal, home-invading drug addict, had been killed by another criminal, people would probably have said that he had it coming. I mean, indeed, let's not forget, he pointed a firearm at a pregnant woman during a home invasion, a woman who was also pistol-whipped during the robbery. He spent 4 years in prison for that. And while I don't want to spend any time in prison ever, let's not pretend that 4 years for threatening a woman with murder in front of her children during a home invasion and then assaulting her is somehow made even Steven by 4 years in prison. If George Floyd had died in any other way, nobody would have heard about him or known about him or cared. And if they did hear about him, they would have said good riddance. Society doesn't need more drug-addicted career criminals. That's what they would have said. And you say, Luke, how do you know that's what they would have said? Well, let's play a game called Have there been nationwide riots and protests for over a year with wall-to-wall media coverage about the death of a career criminal? It's a game I play from time to time. You can call it by its acronym if you'd prefer. HTBNRAPFOAYYWWTWMCATDOACC or HATBINRAPFOAYWOWTIMCATDOAC. Look, we've all played this game a million times. I know you know the rules, but for those of you who've never played, here are the rules. I ask you if you know the names of any other career criminals who died and got nationwide media attention and riots. I've talked to Milton Bradley about, you know, copywriting the Hatbin Rap Foe Wow Tim Cat Doak. They're not interested. They're lost. But friends, the fact that nobody knows the names of thousands upon thousands of people who are criminals who are murdered by other criminals every year should say something. Nobody knows and nobody cares. And those who care can't possibly know the name of every single person. Why? Because there are just too many criminals who are victims of criminals. Moreover, people tend to not care when violent criminals are killed by other violent criminals. Now, you may not like the fact that people don't care, but not liking a fact doesn't change a fact. And despite the media's attempt to conflate the Marxist organization BLM with caring about actual black lives, the fact is that people largely don't care about black lives when they're criminals, and even when they're the victims of non-police violence. I mean, we're supposed to care, and care so deeply about George Floyd, it brought a reckoning, you know. How do we know it brought a reckoning? Well, because people from the New York Times and the mainstream media tell us it's a reckoning. If by reckoning they mean riots, then yeah, but apart from that, I'm not sure what they mean. But talking about reckonings, it gets us into a different conversation, so we'll move on. But the point is that BLM and the mainstream media and the progressive liberals in America are all making out that George Floyd's death marked a turning point that finally wakened America so that a national conversation on systemic racism could happen. I mean, for heaven's sake, Nancy Pelosi thanked George Floyd for dying for our sins, social sins, but sins nonetheless. George Floyd Square in Minneapolis is considered sacred ground. I mean, I wish I were making this up. I really do, but I'm not. This is all very real. George Floyd, by dint of him dying while in police custody, was transformed from a pretty scummy dude who at many other times in American history and many other countries today would have been executed for his crimes long ago. But he's been turned into a folk hero. Nay, a saint. No, a martyr and a Christ figure. It is very clear that the newsmakers have all decided that George Floyd is a martyr. But he isn't. He's not. The word martyr comes from the Greek word martyros, which means a witness or a testifier, somebody who testifies. The word came to mean a person who dies for their faith because in the early Christian church, when people were being murdered by the Roman Empire, they were dying for their faith, and their death for Christ was considered their act of sealing their testimony or their witness or their martyria That's the word for witness, as in the testimony you give, to use the Greek term, with their blood. They sealed their martyria, their testimony, with their blood. Therefore, they were martyrs, because they were witnesses. They were testifiers. That's why in the early church, we have the early church father, Justin Martyr. He's not because Martyr was his, like, father's name or his last name. He's called Justin Martyr because when he was murdered, they called him a martyr. But martyr in Greek simply meant witness. Over church history and within Christianized country, it has come to mean someone who died for their cause, and even extended into someone who's merely suffered for their cause. George Floyd did not die for any cause greater than himself. He died because he was taking lethal doses of Schedule I narcotics. He's not a hero. He's not a martyr. He died because he was a drug addict, which everyone with a fully functional prefrontal cortex knows. But it's not something that everyone with a fully functional prefrontal cortex says. There are lots of intelligent people who know that he's not a martyr, but who are making him out to be one. Why? Because religions need saints and paragons. Religions, even stupid ones like wokeism, need to have ideals to which people should aspire. The paragon of wokeism is the victim, victim with a capital V. Victims are the saints of the wokest religion. Why? Because it's a utopian, secular, humanist, Marxist, racist religion. The whole religion is built around social change. But how do you advocate for social change? You have to show that a society is crap. In fact, you have to show that society is so bad that whatever you're advocating would be better than the society as it is. That's how that works. If you want a revolution, the first thing you need to do is convince everybody that the status quo is so bad that we should let someone else be in charge who will change things. But how do you do that when things actually aren't all that bad? Well, you have to create problems. You have to problematize things. You prove that the system is victimizing people because you need victims. But since this is a religion, you don't just need victims, you need martyrs. Because, as above, wokeism is a religion of revolution. Semper revolutio is the creed of the wokest, because you can never stop revolting until the utopia comes. It's perpetual revolution, always and forever, and that is bad. And not just because it's bad for society, but because it's bad theology. It is bad theology to make martyrs out of criminals. It's bad theology to make saints out of scumbags. Now look, I know that George Floyd got buried in a gold coffin, but those people kneeling for 9 minutes because it commemorates his death is disgusting. It's disgusting that people are calling the place where he died sacred. It's disgusting that Nancy Pelosi thanked him for dying for us. It's disgusting that our society has turned a person like George Floyd into a Christ figure. Friends, George Floyd is almost certainly going to spend eternity in hell. Now, I know that sounds bad. It makes me sound legalistic. But come on. The man was a home invader drug addict who was arrested for passing counterfeit bills, who died of a drug overdose. There is nothing about his life that makes me believe that he had put his faith in Jesus Christ and been born again. Now, if you think I'm wrong, and that George Floyd is up playing a harp and singing with the angels, then you need to call me and we can talk about this theology. And also, maybe I'll mention that I've got some beachfront property in Arizona that I will happily part with. Okay, again, let's play a very simple game to determine what we really believe about George Floyd's character. It's called, Would You Trade Souls With Him on Judgment Day? Milton Bradley gave this game a hard pass, but that's neither here nor there. So here's how you play. You ask yourself, would I trade souls with George Floyd on Judgment Day so that whatever his destination and rewards or punishments will be in eternity will be mine and mine will be his? Ask yourself, do you really want to stand before God as George Floyd? There are no takebacks in this game. The results are eternal. And no, you can't know ahead of time. You have to go with your gut and your ability to do theology. So, how are you feeling about that? Remember, no takebacks. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit. If you want to trade places with St. George and you find yourself stuck with a dragon, well, that's your misfortune. Any takers? Any takers at all? Frankly, friends, if you're willing to trade places in eternity with Georgie, then you're either a fool who rejects the clear biblical doctrine of hell, a fool who believes that victimhood is the same as martyrdom, or else you've lived an incredibly scummy life. If trading souls with George Floyd is trading up, then good God, you must be a monster. Because like I said, George Floyd was a bad person who is almost completely certainly not in heaven with Christ right now, but in the place of torment. George Floyd is not a martyr. He is not a saint. These pagan rituals that are arising around him are indeed pagan. But more than that, they're stupid. Now, don't get me wrong. Paganism has always had a substantial Venn diagram overlap with stupid. But the worship of George Floyd is like the very center of the overlap of stupid and pagan. And I get that wokists are getting really excited about kneeling for 9 minutes to commemorate a home-invading drug addict who died in police custody. I really get it. I expect them to do stuff like this because it fits in perfectly to the needs of their idiotic and evil religion of narcissism. I get it when these young white progressives want to be baptized at George Floyd Square. I get it. I really do. It's their way of proving to themselves that they're overcoming their white privilege, which is the narcissistic stalking horse they're using to hide their loathsome, shameful, vile sin nature from themselves. I get why people fall for wokeism. It's very much like Christianity, except worse in every way. It's a religion without redemption. It's legalistic and racist. It undermines our faith in objective reality and seeks to normalize destructive social and personal norms. But I get why people go in for it. They go in for it because, despite its banal, vain incoherence, it at least gives a clear, coherent view of the purpose of the religion, which is to bring in utopia through social and political change. It's missional. It has a purpose. It has the things that Christianity in America used to hang its hat on until Christianity in America got fat and sassy. But most of all, it gives you a place to hide your guilt, where you don't have to come to Jesus and admit you're a sinner in need of salvation. Because see, that's the part of Christianity people don't like. People are really happy to have the eternal life part. People are cool with everlasting rewards. People are excited about God being on their side. But they're not so hot on admitting that they're guilty, vile, helpless sinners who by nature hate God and love evil and cannot save themselves. That's the part of Christianity that people reject. It isn't the celestial vending machine part. Everyone wants health, wealth, and purpose. Everyone wants meaning and satisfaction and joy and acceptance. But people just, you know, for some reason, really get hung up on admitting that they're sinners who have offended a holy God and who are totally depraved. Weird, you know, this is so strange that that's the part that people resist, you know, but they do. See, the reason people are making George Floyd into a martyr is because it fits their religion. The religion says victimhood is virtue. The way you become virtuous and holy is by being a victim, and especially if you're the victim of systemic racism or systemic inequality or systemic sexism or misogyny or homo/transphobia. If you're the victim of the great evil in society, which is, you know, the straight white conservative Christian man, then you've achieved something. Now, let's be honest. That's a pretty incredibly low bar for virtue. Indeed, the woke ought to be congratulated for coming up with a religion that so keenly plays into narcissism and pop psychology, although I'm being redundant, and also sets a bar for virtue so low that not only can everyone meet it in reality, but when you convince everyone that everyone else is constantly out to victimize them, then surprise, surprise, everyone discovers that they're constantly being victimized, even if they aren't being victimized in reality. I mean, if you spend someone's entire education telling them that the system is out to get them, and then, wonder of wonders, guess what you find out? You find out that they have all these instances where people have been out to get them. It's not hard to do this. It's not hard to get people convinced that they're victims and that everyone's out to get them. It's like telling a neurotic that he's got something to worry about, right? It doesn't take a whole lot of effort. The point is that the way of virtue and wokeism is found in victimhood. You get to be more woke. I guess that's the stand-in term for holiness or righteousness. You get more woke by recognizing more incidents of victimization. The more times and ways that you've been victimized, the more woke you are, which in a normal society would sound like a bunch of narcissistic whining. Incidentally, that's all it is, but you get my point. Making George Floyd a saint is brilliant stupidity. It's a moron's masterstroke, because here's the thing. If George can be a saint, so can anyone. As long as they're a victim. I mean, at least the kind of victim that the wokists want to hear about. So shut up about not getting into Harvard, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and Jewish kids. Your government-sanctioned racism doesn't matter, right? We don't care about your victimization. That's the okay racism. That's the racism we're fine with. But you can be holy, you can be righteous, you can be woke if you're the right kind of victim. Now, Christians, you think this doesn't matter. You think that this only affects the big cities. It doesn't. This stuff is being taught in Christian colleges. It's coming to a church near you if it hasn't gotten there already. Wokists love infiltrating organizations and creating systemic change. You need to know about this so that you can identify it and then reject it and resist it. Wokeism is the great threat to the church right now. But it can, and it will be defeated. It will, like all lies, pass away. but let's make sure that it doesn't do any more damage than it already has to the church and to human souls. Let's stand for Christianity, and let's stand against wokeism. I hope and pray we will, and I hope you'll join us again next time for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.